All right. Hallelujah. So Ephesians chapter 6, verses, let's see. Let's begin in verse 18. Paul is just given an overview of the various apparatus he's given us in terms of armor and then a few weapons, meaning the sword of the Spirit in prayer. He begins to end this section in verse 18. He's saying, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Father, Lord, we rejoice at your grace, Father. We rejoice at, Lord, we know that you are present when family cares for family. Lord, what a display of your grace. Lord, we rejoice. We thank you. So, Father, as we turn to your word, Lord, I pray you will bring these words alive from the page. Change us, Lord, to see you more clearly, Lord, and to reflect you more clearly. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Last week we began this final verses of 18, and really that's where we'll end. And we began with four phrases in verse 18, that second half of 18. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Those are our four phrases. And we did keep alert, which was that unable to sleep, kind of stay awake, and with all perseverance, with all persistence. This praying isn't a one and done thing. We don't pray and then be done. Oh, I did that. No, we persist in it. He's encouraging us to persist in it. This morning, though, we're going to look at the second two, and we're going to close this section. And this will tie it all together, I believe. That third phrase is making supplication. Now, what in the world is that? It sounds kind of like making supper, but it's not quite that, Eli. I say it, and it kind of makes me feel uneasy. Like, what is that? Like, who talks like that anymore? But making supplication, I think we're helped if we look at 1 Timothy Chapter 2. If you're a quick turner, you can turn forward to 1 Timothy chapter 2, or else I believe it's on the screen for you. I think we're helped here when we start looking at supplication. What is he talking about? He says in 1 Timothy, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all the saints. So he's using four terms here. For prayer, he's using supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings. So I just want to take a moment and look at these briefly at that. But I want to break it down, then we'll come back to supplication as it relates to the Ephesians. But supplications, that word would mean it's a plea. It's to plea. It's to plead. It's to even beg. It's to. It has to do with an urgent request for a known need, or an urgent request to meet a need, like, I need babysitting this weekend, just in case. That's an urgent plea. That would be an urgent plea, me saying that. Any grandmas, Gammy in the house? Okay. So that's an urgent plea. So supplication would be making needs known. It would be presenting needs. So in a sense, we kind of did that just a moment ago with the Charlestons, except this is before the Lord. This is would be an aspect of prayer, being very specific, begging, pleading very specifically, presenting needs, specific requests for specific things, for specific needs. Okay? Then he says prayers. Prayers would be the more generic term, the more general term that we would see through Scripture for prayer. Prayer, it's prayer, it's prayer. So when Paul says, that it would make sense now because Paul says, well, I pray in tongues more than any of you. He wouldn't necessarily say, well, I supplicate in tongues more than any of you, or I offer supplications in tongues. No, it's prayer. It's general. Like, it's not specific. He doesn't know what he's saying when he's speaking in tongues. See the difference there? It's a more general term when he says prayers. Praying at all times. Intercessions. Really, many of us may be very much more familiar with intercessions, but a lot of teaching on intercession. It's speaking to someone on behalf of another. And that raises the importance of the community praying for one another, because the intercessions itself connotates that you're speaking to God on behalf of someone else. So you're praying for one another. So there's a community element in intercession. But in the real heart of intercession, when you kind of explode that word in its original terms, the heart of it is there's a boldness behind it. There's a boldness behind intercession. Esther kind of came to mind, where Esther burst into the court. Now she goes uninvited. We've been invited. Now she didn't know, she thought maybe she could die, but she was coming on behalf of her people to the king because of an evil plot. But she was coming to intercede. The great news is that we have been invited. In Hebrew says that we've been invited in. We know we're not going to be struck down dead. We're invited to come confidently and boldly. So what we see in Hebrews chapter 4:16, I believe you have that there. Paul, the writer of Hebrews says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Do you realize that's an intercessory verse? That's an intercessory verse. So it means that it's not primarily for you and I. You read that. Let us with confidence draw near to the throne of God. In intercession for others, in their time of need, not just our time of need. If we're at Hebrews, if you're there, if you want to you just kind of keep turning back. We'll eventually run to the end of the Bible, and then we'll be done. But we're going to keep going further in to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 that I just read. But as we say, well, that's an intercessory verse. That's going in confidently to the throne of God, even on behalf of others, so that he will be strong in their time of need, not just mine, but others as well. But if we look at verses 14, 15, the ones that just precede that, we find out the confidence that he's coming from. The writer says, "Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every aspect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." So as we come confidently to the throne of God in intercession, even before others, we are meeting someone who sympathizes, who is not without idea of the needs of which we bring, even on behalf of others. And we think we're the great intercessors, but Jesus is the only true mediator. He intercedes day and night. See, that's how it gets done. Calvin says he even extends his hand to help his own, not wet nursing them just with words, but defending them with present help in time of need. Amen. His power in this prayer. And then he talks about thanksgivings. Supplication. We have prayers. We have intercessions and thanksgivings. And that Thanksgivings, we're all familiar with that. That's when you pray and eat too much and watch the Dallas Cowboys. That's Thanksgivings. And now it's to express gratitude and blessings for benefits from God. It's attitudinal. We're just thanking you, God. We're grateful. In our praying, we're grateful. We don't come discouraged in a sense that, we're not sure really what we actually could receive. We're not sure who God is or what he's like. We're just hoping that he's good. No, we come very grateful because of the revelation he's given us through the word. Hey, we know God. We know his nature. We know what he loves. We know what's on his heart. Amen. So it's great. It's thankfulness. Philippians 4:6. We see these terms used again, this string of terms for prayer again in Philippians 4:6. When Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. I know what anxiety is. I think we all are friends with anxiety, or sometimes more than others in seasons. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. But he doesn't just say it. Hey, you know what? You shouldn't be full of anxiety. Just stop being anxious. He follows it by saying, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Say, well, what was the result then, Paul? The very next verse says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So I don't know how many times I've prayed that for people. Hey, God, let the peace of God just surpass understanding. You know, let that peace that surpasses understanding fill them and all. And I've not always followed that up with some helpful scriptural backing and saying, as you pray in supplication with thanksgiving, present your needs. Be specific to the Lord what you need. Cast your burden on Him. Then the peace of God that passes all. We just want to pray for the peace to come, but we kind of missed the prayer part. And that's inseparable in that verse as we read it. Hey, in everything, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God will come upon us. We just want the peace, but no, there's a prayer. There's that supplication. There's a contending in prayer. So remember, he had just put the armor on us. There's a fight. We are in a fight. There's a contending in it. There's a persistence in it. So here, back to Ephesians, as we finish this section on supplication, Paul uses prayer and supplication. So he's saying, be specific here. Praying at all times, keeping alert with all persistence, be specific. Know what you're asking for, okay? It's like a comment came up at Benjamin's. I was with Benjamin and Ruth yesterday that Ruthie's pregnant. They have their third baby coming, and Benjamin had a fantastic point. I think Benjamin is the weaker of the two because he wants to share the name of the new baby, but Ruthie's being really strong about it. So Benjamin's caving a little bit. I think we could get the name out of him. If we really try. But Benjamin raised a good point yesterday to his wife saying, listen, people could pray more specifically for the baby if they knew the name. And I'm like, you're hindering our supplication here. Amen. We're called to be specific, Vern, and I can't be. And it's, you know, so we're building a case, Benjamin. We're cracking. Yeah, and I said yesterday, well, I'm not praying then until I know the name. I'll pray for someone else's baby. So anyway, again, not trying to oversimplify supplication, but I think the real nugget there is being specific and knowing what you're praying for, presenting those needs before the Lord. And if you knew certain things, it might help to pray more intelligently. But one last note as we're talking about asking specifically, and I just want to throw this out for us to chew on, and we're going to keep moving. But James 4:2 says something fairly powerful to us. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. And we grew up, you have not because you ask not. Now we've got to do something with that verse. I'm just going to submit, as we're talking about being specific, presenting requests to God, the words of James kind of echo in, you do not have because you do not ask. I don't think that means James is saying, well, you'd have it anyway because God has a plan. Or God isn't necessarily saying, well, you'd have it anyway because I have a plan. The verse doesn't mean the opposite of what it says. As I read those words, as we're considering this this thing of presenting your request before God. This means that prayer causes things to happen that wouldn't happen if you didn't pray. That's why we're called into this. That's just to wake you up once in a while. It's something new we're doing. You like it? Good. Good. I thought, how could we do this? Just about maybe the middle of this first point. Boom. Getcha. But see, what I'm reading here in James, and again, I'm just going to throw it out. We've got to move on, is that could he be saying that certain things wouldn't happen if we didn't pray? Because that's why it's such a glorious privilege. And Paul suits us up with armor and sends us out in prayer. Just kind of fuses it together in power. See, because our prayers to be taken by the sovereign God who runs everything by his infinite wisdom, he folds it into his causality. Our prayers. I don't know how he does it. I don't understand it all. But as I read James, because some of us are kind of at the point where we have stopped asking specifically, whether it's disappointment or it doesn't do anything or I don't. Making supplication, making prayers, intercessions, going, asking. James is then coming to remind us that God, the sovereign God, who controls the entire universe through his infinite wisdom, takes our prayers and folds it in somehow to his causality, to his the counsels of his will unfolding in his purposes in the earth. Holy cow. That is powerful. It's a glorious revelation. So to wrap up this third word, this third phrase, the supplication, is that Paul's intention in Timothy, that verse in Timothy, is not to make these terms exclusive and apart from each other. That's not, oh, there's four, okay, right now I'm praying, all right, now I'm going to intercede, now I'm going to, no, it's not necessarily to be taken that way. Let's not button it up in a four-point series. It's not, that's not his purpose there. His purpose isn't to say, well, one type of prayer is completely different than the other type, or that he's not even trying to limit prayer to even four types of prayer. He just lists four of them, and I think what he's trying to do is encourage us and urge us as a community, as a church, as a body, to offer God prayers of all kinds for all peoples. All kinds of prayers. Right on time. All kinds of prayers for all kinds of people. All the time. Which leads us to that final phrase, for all saints. Offering supplication, making supplication for all the saints. See, we're not engaged in single combat with the powers of the evil one all alone. But yet we're engaged in this conflict with a great mass army. Represented by if you look around, well, there's a few here. Few of our soldier people are part of the team are here. That's why we gather on a Sunday morning. Man, I'm not alone. Praise God. Feel the surge of the Spirit in this place. Wow. So this final phrase brings our attention to the point that you're not fighting alone. Pray for all the saints because this just isn't up to you. It should matter how our comrades here are doing in the fight. It should matter how Rick or how Karen or how Matt or how Natalie is doing. So we're praying for each other because we're fighting together. A common enemy, we've got the armor. I love the context of it. We can't separate it. So he's highlighting. And what he says here as you move through that, even into it kind of moves into verse 19. When Paul wrote Ephesians, the letter to Ephesians, he didn't write the number 19 in there. Like he didn't say, well, here's a good place to, That wasn't there. This is all one thought. So he continues from verse 18 into 19. And here, Paul says, here's what I'm asking for you to pray for us. Paul is asking for prayer. That amazing thought. Paul understood that it mattered if people prayed for him. Paul, in the churches, that he had a prayer relationship with them. His relationship in prayer. He's saying, we are in this together, people. We are in this together. I may be in chains in another town, but I'm writing a letter. I need you to pray for me. Not just to pray that I get released from the chains, but that I might speak as I should speak. That the message is actually clear. It's quite a mystery. People think it's kind of weird what I'm saying. I need boldness. I need clarity. And your prayers are going to help that. It's amazing. This is Paul. If anyone's going to speak clearly and boldly, it's Paul. But he's saying, and also for me, not just all the saints, but me, as kind of your father, as the apostle of your faith, as the one out there moving into new lands and new territories, planting churches, raising up churches. Paul's saying, Paul is now connecting with a local church. He's rooted now in a local church. The church is helping him with apostolic breakthrough in other lands, in other places, in other providences. And he asked for them to pray for him and that he would be clear in his speech. Paul wanted the churches to be involved in apostolic work, and the churches, in that sense, were caught up with what he was doing in the work that God had called him to. Paul says, man, I got this crazy message to proclaim. The world says it's foolishness. And he needed prayer to proclaim that mystery. We have a message. We have a message that's incomprehensible unless God shows up. It's unbelievable unless God shows up. Paul says, I need your backing. We need to get fully identified in these areas. I need your backing in this. Terry Virgo has said in his in one of his books, we probably have it out here on the bookshelf, that apostolic global outreach, as we're reading about here, apostolic global impact. Had a nice quote from Augustine, but we'll skip that today. But Terry Virgo says apostolic global impact in healthy local churches are integrated. See how that's one thing to say the statement. It's another thing to read it here and see, yeah, look at that. Praying for us as I'm going out, praying as some of them were joining with him in the mission. But they're integrated. So in our context, we would say to people like John Lamferman, who would lead New Frontiers USA, or Ian Ashby, or Sam Poe, or any of them, we would say, we're with you. We honor your gift. As they would say to Paul, we honor the gift that's in you. We're with you. Count on us. We're on mission with you, Paul. We're on mission with you, John. We're on mission with you, Ian, or Sam, or name. As you get to know these guys, you'll know their names. So when we say we're together on a mission, it's not just a catchy phrase. It's rooted deeply in the patterns of Scripture that we see. So we're on mission with these guys. What does that mean? Well, we're seeing an aspect of it here as Paul's encouraging them not only to pray always in the Spirit, but let's be more specific now. Let's bring it practical, as I said. Benjamin did a fantastic job a few weeks ago of just laying that out. Now he continues much more practically saying, okay, keeping alert with all perseverance, making supplication for us, for the saints. We're connected. We're on mission. This is much bigger than just the Ephesians. This is much bigger than just City View. It's much bigger than just name any local church in York. That's what we're getting out of that last phrase. It's plainly displayed. So Paul says, put on your armor, and it's not just for you. It's for others. We are interdependent. It matters how Beth is doing. It matters how Gretchen's doing. It matters how Dave Fulton's doing. It does. We're interconnected. We're fighting together. We're on mission together, and we need one another. So let's stand and pray together. As a matter of fact, that's how we'll end. We won't end with a song. We've heard enough from you, Benjamin. Let's stand together and pray. That's enough out of you. I want us to pray, seal this whole piece together of Ephesians. We've learned about the armor. We've heard about praying all times in the Spirit. We want to pray specifically for each other and the mission that he has us on and those he has us on it with. So I'm going to name some names as we pray that they'll just, we're just together in a worldwide mission.